Concours IENA, session 2014, épreuve orale d'anglais. Début du dialogue 1.
The heads of Britain's intelligence agencies, MI5 and MI6, along with the director of the Government Communications Headquarters, GCHQ, all appeared the other day before a panel of MPs. This was their first joint appearance in public addressing a Parliamentary Intelligence and Security Committee, whose hearings had previously always been held behind closed doors.
Little more than 20 years ago, even the names of the intelligence chiefs were a state secret.
Yes, and that fact guaranteed full coverage on the evening news. And at long last, the British had a programme focusing on the revelations provided by Edward Snowden, the former National Security Agency contractor.
Surprising, the dominant British reaction to the Snowden affair has often been indifference.
Indeed. The Guardian newspaper broke the story that the NSA of the US and the GCHQ of the UK engaged in mass surveillance of American and British citizens online. The rest of the British media have ignored it almost completely, while The Guardian has persevered in providing detailed information about the continual invasions of people's privacy.
How can such indifference be accounted for? It's totally at odds with the response in the United States, where Congress is reviewing its oversight arrangements, and where everyone from President Obama on down has acknowledged that a debate's necessary.
Start with the politics. One might have expected the opposition Labour Party to pick up the Snowden issue, as it could have cast the government as Big Brother. The trouble is, Labour was itself in government just over 3 years ago, and doubtless allowed many of the very practices we've learned about thanks to Edward Snowden.
And the Liberal Democrats. Couldn't they have championed individual liberties?
The Liberal Democrats are in coalition as the Conservatives' junior partner. They can no longer complain about government intrusion. They are the government.
But what about the media?
The media have proved equally tongue-tied on this story. There are at least 10 national daily newspapers, all headquartered in London, all fighting over an ever-shrinking market. Few of them gave any prominence to the revelations about the NSA. They didn't want to attract their readers' attention to a rival publication, The Guardian.
But one would have expected public-spirited behaviour on the part of organs that claim to inform the public of what concerns them. How about Britain's intelligence establishment?
It remains in good standing. A government-financed survey published on the official YouGov site long after the Snowden revelations found that only 19% of Britons believed the security services had too much power. 64% reckoned the security services had the right amount of power or not enough.
This survey must have proved very comforting for the government, though I note that it was the government itself that financed it.
Remember, in Britain, few blame the spies for what might seem like the most serious intelligence failure in recent history. I'm referring to the weapons of mass destruction that were supposed to exist in Iraq. Blame for that error tends to attach to the former Prime Minister, Tony Blair, rather than to the agencies themselves.
That's a curious attitude to civil liberties.
It's a complacent attitude to civil liberties. The attitude is, if you've got nothing to hide, you've got nothing to fear. Though Britain has more CCTV cameras than any other country, including China, people don't object because the cameras are said to reduce crime. They violate no Bill of Rights or written constitution because Britain has neither.
I can see that Britain has a fundamentally different conception of power from the United States. In America, it's we the people who are held to be sovereign. The NSA, like other arms of the government, is a servant of the people. It's meant to do what it's told.
Precisely. The British system, by contrast, still carries the imprint of its origins in the monarchy. It's Her Majesty's government, not the people's. As a consequence, the British can be quite resigned about the level of government power over their lives and the degree to which the government intrudes into their lives. That's because the British don't really see government as their servant in the first place. The British remain subjects. They aren't citizens.
Fin du dialogue 1.